Hey guys, this is And the Writer Is, and I'm your host, Ross Golan. I've written with hundreds of writers and artists over the years, and my favorite part of each session is the first hour when we catch up about life and the industry, politics, composition, whatever. If you ask me, songwriters are some of the most worldly and intelligent people I've ever come across. So this is a journey of learning why people write songs, how people write songs, and most importantly, who the people are who write the songs. Now I'm co-producing this with my friend Joe London, who was nominated for a Grammy earlier this year for Best Country Song. He makes us sound like angels. If you want to listen to the songs we discuss in this podcast, go to Spotify and look up our playlist, And the Writer Is, or go to our website, www.andthewriteris.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate us on whatever your preferred podcast listening site is, whether it's iTunes or it's one of the others. We appreciate that effort and thank you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Today's podcast is with my friend Lunch Money Lewis. Lunch is a beast. If you don't know Lunch, you need to go right now and look up Lunch on YouTube. Probably the first thing you're going to see is the song Bills. You'll see that video. If you watch that, my guess is you don't need any more explanation to how much of a badass Lunch Money is. He's such a badass that Al Roker talks about him on the Today Show on a regular basis. He's also been featured on every artist from Thomas Rhett to Nicki Minaj, which says how diverse a writer this guy is and how fun he is to have in the studio. A couple notes for you so you can follow along. One is we talk a lot about Jay Cash. We talk about Jay Cash so much that we even interviewed him in the second episode, so you should go back and check that out. But Lunch is signed to Jay Cash. He also discusses Salaam Remy. Salaam is the guy who helped break people like Amy Winehouse. He produced Nas, Fugees, Fergie, Estelle, Miguel. He's kind of like one of those urban super producers. So without going further into notes, I want to jump straight to the interview because Lunch is that entertaining. He comes from an interesting family, comes from an interesting place. He's worked with so many different interesting artists that let's just hear what he has to say. So, without further ado, here is this week's episode of And the Writer Is. Welcome to And the Writer Is. I am your host, Ross Golan. Today's writer has been featured on records by Nicki Minaj, Thomas Rhett, Pitbull, and Meghan Trainor. If that's not proof he's one of the most diverse writers in the game, his first single as an artist went number one in Australia and top 10 in half a dozen countries, including the UK, and just went gold in the United States of America. Ooh. He's written songs with the titans of the music industry because his flow and lyrics are consistently authentic and progressive. And the writer is a friend of this guy I know, who's not the writer on this episode, but knows the guy who's friends with the writer on this episode.
Knows the guy. The guy.
Lunch Money Lewis.
What's up, Ross? What an intro.
I would try to explain the intro, because obviously kind of like, I don't know, because you obviously grew up in an Italian family.
In the Bronx. I really didn't, but it's just fun to act like it. It definitely is.
Does that come from growing up in Miami and being around a bunch of real gangsters who are selling lots of drugs?
I think so. Half of that, and then half of like me being young, getting high, watching Casino and Goodfellas and every Italian movie ever made.
They're the best.
They're the best.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
This is nice.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
So when you grew up in Miami, you grew up in a family that has a lot of music. So you grew up in Miami, you're born in late 80s, and it's like Is that that's sort of right in the prime of when everything was going on in your dad's band Inner Circle, right?
Yeah, that was kind of, I would say I was born in 88, so he was in Miami around 88, 89. He had just kind of moved there, and my parents just had me. And I think it was in the off the cusp of them leaving Jamaica, losing their lead singer, and kind of coming to America with a record deal, like reshaping the band and the sound, and they had a new singer. And so, like, by the time I was born, it hit the early 90s, and that's when, like, the new Inner Circle, like, I think the world knows, like, kind of kicked in. So I was, like, the golden baby who made it, and I blessed the luck of the band, I think, yeah.
Dude, that's crazy. Did you tour with them?
I did two tours when I was like 5 and 6. It was like summertime out of school, and they would go on this like U.S. run, and I'd just go out with them. That was like probably like 95 or something. Okay. I don't remember, but yeah, I just like go.
So you're in like
out
second
tour.
Grade.
Yeah, I'm in like third grade
in front of a good like 5,000 people.
Yeah, 5,000 sitting behind a drummer every night, like loud, like, you know, breaking. All the, can I curse? But breaking shit down, yeah. Like all the drums, everything down.
This isn't CNN.
No, I just, you know, I felt the pressure. Yeah, but now, like breaking down, still watching, shit. Just watching the like evolution of a band, like it was inspiring, yeah.
Did it teach you how to write differently, or like was it teaching you how the business works? I mean, when you're like 7 years old and you're watching a band kind of blow up,
yeah.
Like, did you have any idea that, oh, yeah, my dad writes songs?
I had no idea at all. Like, I just knew he was cool. And I know it was like, I love this. Like, yeah. I didn't know about money or, like, how anything works. I just saw it, and I was like, this is what I want to do for the, like, rest of my life. Like,
sure.
However I figured out. So I think that was, like, key to me, like, just sparking, like, an initial, like, love for music. Like, it's great.
Yeah, I think when you sort of see how it, like once you're taught something's attainable, you can reach for it.
Oh, all day.
You know, like, so I think one of the problems with, you know, not a good education for a lot of people is that you don't realize that you can attain whatever you want. But
yeah.
I'm sure it helps when, you know, growing up in an environment, obviously, like, you know, Sweat and Bad Boys are just such massive songs.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd hear them everywhere. Yeah. So were you aware that, like, that's...
As I got older, I kind of, it kicked in. Like, you know, okay, your dad wrote these two songs and a part of this band, you know, a reggae band from Jamaica. But as, like, growing up, I think I was so just hypnotized by, like, the music, like, the making of it and watching them perform. I never really, like... It didn't hit me later until this is important and you have to do something important now. Like,
oh, wow, yeah.
Like, this was, like, I was, like, just wrapped up and I want to play drums and I want to... just make this thing they're making every day, you know?
Did that put pressure on you?
I think when I got to, there was an age where it kind of was like, man, you better do something with your life, buddy.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
What age was that?
That was probably like high school, you know, because I really got into the music. Like, okay, this is like, you know, when you're getting to the age of like career point, like, what are you going to do with your life? But it just like, it kind of always progressed for me. I think I was naturally like hungry for it. You know, they kind of were in their own world. I was just like always doing me and learning. So I just was like once I found it, I just like a rocket. I was like, all right, this is what I'm doing. And
were you, when you were in high school, were you like, oh, I'm going to do reggae? Like my parents, were you like, I'm going to do anything but that because yeah. I need to be different?
Yeah, I think reggae, like I always say, reggae is like a good, I'm glad it was the first music I heard because it's so worldly, it's so like positive, and then it's so like deep rooted in like culture. So I'm like, and it's like rooted in hip hop, it's in rock, it's in everything. So I'm glad like it was my first music because I like listened to everything because of it.
Right.
But then moving from it, I was like, I fell in love with hip hop. I was like, I love rhymes, I love writing raps, I love hip hop, you know, I love R&B, I love all
these
things.
Who introduced you to that? Was that just by
being my brother?
Age?
I had a big brother, I had cousins, and they were like into East Coast hip hop and like Jay-Z and Nas and Big Pun. And then I grew up in Miami where there was like this diversity of like Cuban music and then, you know, like Trick Daddy and like, you know, it was like this big melting pot of like music. So I think that kind of, I think hip hop more took me in high school and then I just like kept going from, it was two good genres because they're like sub-genre. Like once you listen to rap, you hear a rock sample and then you listen to the rock band and then
right.
Reggae's like, it was two good genres to like me to start from because it like took me everywhere else
sure.
from there. So it was like kind of
cool.
When
did you realize you could actually write?
I think pretty early, like, because I was always, like, I was so involved in the creating part of it. Like, I love making it, like, you know, being in the studio, like I am, and like we are now, all of us. Like, I love the writing process and the recording process, or like writing a rap and writing a hook and trying to make it catchy, not even knowing what catchy was. But, you know, it's funny, like, listening to my old stuff now, I'm like, man, I was trying to write like a good song when I was like 17, but I didn't know all the parts to make it like what it, I think I could make it now. But
do you ever think about, I guess every once in a while, like when I'm on an airplane, I'll go back and listen to some old school songs. Yeah. Just seeing if maybe there's like, man, that's a sick pre-chorus. Yeah. It's like, I should go that. And steal that, yeah. You know?
I sometimes listen to old raps now and I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? Like, I wasn't doing anything of what I was talking about. Like, it just was like, you know, but then I hear just certain songs where I use melody really early and I was like trying to sing and everything. I was like, oh, I was on to something. Like, I'm just like, you know.
Is that... So, I mean, you started as a rapper, right?
Yeah.
So, when did you, because I think of you as a singer.
Yeah.
You know, when you're starting to sing, does the people who liked you for being a rapper, were they like, well, that's weird that you're starting to sing? Or are people like, yo, man, you can sing from the get-go?
I think it was funny
because... Like, it's kind of expected that I should sing.
Yeah, because you sing, yeah.
Because, well, I mean, I also started, like, doing musical theater, and I was, like, a you know, a dorky Jewish kid from the suburbs, you know?
Yeah.
I think the fact that I could do any sort of rhyming or that I work with rappers on any sort of level is always shocking to someone in the exact, maybe the exact opposite way.
Which is cool.
You know, like, do people look at you and do they think, like, wow, that's crazy you can sing because you're really a rapper?
Yeah, because in the beginning, the song that actually, like, I was in the local scene at home, you know, like a local rapper, and we all put out songs. And one of the songs that did well for me, I actually was singing the hook. It was a song called Get Grown that, like, all the DJs started playing and, like, the clubs and the skating rings. And, you know, I was, like, maybe in high, like, right out of high school, like, in my early 20s. Like, you know, I was signed. I mean, there's like another gap of my life there. I was like signed in a group when I was 18.
Yeah. Explain that. Because like it's pretty rare that someone has a record deal essentially straight out of.
Out of
high school. And then also to have a record deal out of Miami is, you know, in the rap community is really unusual because it's not Atlanta. Yeah. It's not New York. It's not L.A.
Yeah.
How does a band from. I mean, so what was the band called again?
Bottom of the Map.
Bottom of the Map.
What a name, right?
Yeah.
No, it was awesome. We're bottom of, because we're from Miami. We're like, we're the bottom, you know, you get it.
Sure, yeah.
But, yeah, we were just, it was my best friend, and he did music with me. We met in seventh grade, and we're still friends to this day, like a musical best friend you have.
Sure.
Who still does beats and stuff, and we still, you know, do music. And there was three other
What's
dudes.
What's his name?
Berserk. Yeah. Zerk, he's the craziest white dude.
Does he still want to be involved in?
Yeah, he actually engineers. Like he actually, you know, he's still like he's heavy in the tech side of it too, and like beats. He's like a really talented friend of mine.
Sure.
But we, you know, we grew up together, and then there was three other members. There was a producer at the time who was fairly big in Miami. And with him and Jim Johnson and Big D. And, you know, it's like the classic, like, producers getting big. I want a band, you know, and then we signed to them. And so that part of my life was, like, 18 to...
Were you guys all friends in high school?
Just me and Zerk. The other two members, we weren't friends in high school. We weren't. We just met to the group. So it was, like, when we got the group together, I met both of them. Well, one of them
Did
was
Did someone
in the group.
Put the group together then?
Well, it was... The group was originally... My boy Zerk, another kid, and the kid and the homie Bone, who was in the group. And I was a rapper locally, and the producer was like, yo, like, how now? Can you come in and help them write hooks and write songs? So I came in like, oh, I'm going to write some hooks for this group. My boy's in the group. Fuck it, you know? And then I came in, I rapped on a song, and then he was like, you need to be in the group. Like, so I actually joined the group then. The singer left, and we got another singer. A girl came in to sing on a hook one day, and then they were like, oh, you guys are the classic, you know, like, you guys are the group
Yeah,
now.
They're the Black Eyed Peas. They were like Black Eyed Peas.
You get a car. You get a car. So it's like everyone, like, got in the group. And then that was fun. You get a vote. You know, it was like that kind of thing. You know.
Did you know?
You get a deal.
Did you know going into, when you're saying, like, I'm going in to write a hook, are you thinking at all, like, because you grew up around it, are you thinking like, well, now I'm gonna try it every time I'm trying to write a hit, or are you like, yeah, I'm just a kid going in a studio, here are my friends, and I'm gonna just start singing whatever comes off the top of my head?
That was basically what it was. It was like, I didn't even know what a hit, you know, I was like, I'm just gonna go in here and like have fun and write a song with my homies and end up rapping on a song and stand in the
group. So there's five of you in Bottom of the Map.
Five of us.
And you guys get a deal with Motown.
Motown, Universal.
How did they hear you?
We had the Big D at the time had a manager, Derek Jackson, who some people know. He managed Scott Storch. He was like, you know, he is a prominent manager at the time. So when, you know, he brought his group to his big, it was classic.
Yeah.
Big producer brought his group to his new manager and they were like, oh, we need to sign them. And then we flew to New York for one day, did a performance for Sylvia, and they signed us in like a week.
Yeah.
So it was the fastest.
And this is
thing.
Like probably like 2008 or something. 2010.
Seven. I left high school 06 and I was signed in 07.
Did you graduate?
No.
Do you ever?
I left school at, it's my senior year.
It's really funny how, like, how little.
I'm not proud of that either. But
really? Do you care?
I think it was smart. Like, now, you know, when you get older, you're like, man, I should have just finished. I was, like, 10 credits away. But I think I was so affixed, like, with music. I shout out my counselor, Miss Clark. She had a meeting with my mom that day and was like, look, he needs to go do whatever he wants to do because he's not here.
Yeah.
So I listened. I actually took that tip and my mom listened. And we was like, all right, let him go run free. So I ran free for a year and I had a deal in a year. So,
well, I mean, like, it's like you're articulate. You've traveled the world. It's not like, I think in education, a formal education versus the kind of education you had is like,
I think
almost anybody would pick your education and would feel like that's a worthy way of learning. Like I haven't, most people don't travel around the world performing their songs in front of a lot of people or see that. And then, like you were saying, the reason why I was saying education matters in attainability is because most people don't have, you know, that world doesn't open up by their parents.
Yeah, yeah.
Like your parents kind of opened up a world where you're like, well, what's the point of studying?
Yeah.
You know,
it was like
chemistry.
It was like a drug
dealer.
Like, you got a taste of that high. Like, you were like, why am I even smoking anything else? Like, I need to concentrate on this drug right here. I need to work on this and like finish it. And it wasn't, you know, I credit my family for, you know, teaching me hard work in it. It wasn't like, you know, I was like, it was like, you want to do this, learn. Like, learn every aspect of it. If you win at it, you win. If you don't, you need to fit, you know. So I think I got obsessed with it and it kind of took my. I was like, yeah, it was like I ran with it completely.
So you're in New York, you signed to Motown.
Yeah.
And at that point, how soon after that did you guys record an album? Or
yeah, we recorded an album. Like, we went in the studio. And which
in Miami, or you're recording in New York?
In Miami.
Uh-huh.
We went into the studio, and I remember working, they brought like Static, which rest in peace, Static Major, you know, wrote all the Aaliyah, Genuine stuff, like that whole camp, you know. So I got to see him work a lot, and that inspired me as a song. I was like, man, people are writing songs for people. And, you know, he wrote most of the hooks on the album. We wrote verses, but I was always like, I'm going to stay here and watch him write. Cause I was like, man, this is a job. Like, he's in here, like, cutting records and knocking stuff out. I had no idea, you know, about money or nothing. And so I was just like, yo, this is dope.
Who's teaching you about that? You know, who teaches you about the money part?
I think later when I started to, like, I started figuring out on my own, and that's when I started getting information from other people. My dad and other people would, you know, slowly. Because if you meet my dad, he's a funny guy. Like, my dad's like a very old school. If anybody's like an old school parent, like old school Jamaican, old school, it's old school anything. He's like, he'll never give you all the information, but as soon as you get in the situation, he's like, all right, look here.
This is
all right. This is what you need to figure out. You know. It's what you know, and it's patois in Jamaican land, like, yo, you have to do this, and da da da. So I'd always take bits and information, you know, and like when I get in the situation and like move from there. But like, just seeing him work, and we worked on the album for a year, and then.
Did they release it?
Never. We end up doing the classic, you know, working on the album, and then it went wrong, and we split up, and got dropped and stuff.
When you got dropped, what was the thought process? Like, how do you go from there to like. You know, I'm going to move to L.A. and do a deal with... I mean, how do you then get a hold of... I guess J-Cash was probably through Miami, right?
Yeah, but I didn't know Cash at that point.
So how did
J-Cash
you...
Was a whole
how do you get...
chapter.
How do you get from, like, okay, my band just gets dropped.
Yeah.
You're at... Anybody who gets a record deal, especially at that age, like, I am Jay-Z.
Oh, I'm about to be...
I'm not about,
I'm about to be the biggest rapper in the world.
Yeah.
You know?
So how do you go from, like, that to L.A.? You know, you get dropped, and what's emotionally? How do you move?
I was like... you know, we had been, there was so much whirlwinds in the group, you know, from there. And I have no hard feelings about any of it either, because it was so awesome at a young age. And I learned, I got to tour, you know, with friends and all that stuff. But it was like a whirlwind of emotion. I was like kind of, I didn't, at the time I knew we couldn't do, I was trying to do other music because I knew the group was over at a certain point. So I was like, oh, we can't
release. So you started writing before the group was
done. Yeah, I kind of caught the wave of like us being like, okay, this is like not going to go. So I need to like
Did the label try to keep you guys together, or was the label like, nah, this is not going to work?
Yeah, they held us. We were together for a year, you know. Shout out to Sylvia. She never dropped us immediately. I think she had us hang around for a while. But then I think, you know, we just got a little older. We were together from where 18. We're like, all right, you know. And I think we all started just kind of in our own worlds.
Well, and you were saying before, and, you know, not to go too far into it, but just that you guys had like four members of the band, two managed by one guy, two managed by another guy.
Here, the group personality. It's just like hard. Anybody's been, you know, you've been in a band or groups or anything. It's just like, you know, your best friend's in a group, but then there's two other people you don't know. You got to get to know them. You're growing up together. You get some money. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like a whirlwind of
Being in a band's the fucking worst, man. Yeah, it's the worst. They're terrible people.
Yeah, they're terrible, but, you know.
Just kidding. I love all you guys, except for the ones I don't.
Yeah, which exactly.
Who aren't listening to this because they don't like
me
either.
The ones I know you don't like me, though, but I love everybody else.
Yeah.
But it was a whirlwind of emotion. But I was kind of halfway relieved and halfway... like, relieved, like, okay, time to do something new, which I love new vibes. I love new energy. Like, I'm going to do something new now. I'm going to figure it out. And then the other half of me was like, man, was that our shot? Like, was that my shot, you know? So it was like, I think both emotions. But
yeah.
I've always been the type to, like, I've been very, like, we got to go. I got to go.
Yeah.
I got to make music. Got to go anywhere and make music. Any studio. Friend had a studio at his house. I was there. Like, I was just like, we gotta go, you know, like that type of. So I picked up from there and kept putting out stuff.
When did you know you could do it on your own without a band?
I knew it. I think I never really knew. I think I just always was. It's funny when you do music, you know, you never really know anything. It's just you gotta love it, you know. It's like I loved it. I didn't know what I was gonna do or how I was gonna do anything, if I was gonna do anything. I was just like, I'm gonna rap. I'm gonna write. My friend does beat. We're just gonna like make stuff. And then, like, you know, after the years I put mixtapes out in my city and I had a buzz as a local rapper. And then, you know, I met the wonderful J Cash in between all of that because he was coming
up. Did he hear your music, or was it like a friend of a friend?
The real story is, we're not going to go too deep into the story, but it was interesting.
Go deep into the story.
Okay, well,
go as deep as you can.
Okay, I'll go. We had like a weed connection. That we both smoked weed from the same guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had weed and he had weed. And the weed, my boy who sold weed was like, man, you should meet the J Cash. You should meet Lunch. You guys do music. You both are dope. You guys should link up. He was doing Kevin Rudolph stuff at the time, putting out his stuff. And I was like doing my thing locally. And then, you know, we met. And when me and him met, we kind of stopped talking to everybody else and just were like, okay, we should make music together. And that kind of like rolled into everything. And I saw Cash was honestly an inspiration of mine too, because I saw Cash, you know, he wrote records on Kevin. It was like, you know, he was like landing. So I wasn't really thinking at that time either about songwriting. That's like, I remember certain people wanted my songs then, and I'll be like, I'm not giving my songs away. Like, right. I love my songs. Like, I was still in this kind of artist mode, and he was kind of in the same but still writing, so it was kind of like inspiration. I was like, man, he's like writing and giving songs away and stuff. So I think that, like, kind of like when I got into the mode of like songwriter was different from artist. I put artist away for a while. After a certain time, I was like, I'm not gonna be an artist again. I'm just write songs, try to make money. And
yeah,
you know, he was coming, he came out to LA, and he always like, man, you need to get out here, like, leave Miami, there's nothing there. And I'll be like, you sure? Like, I love it here. It's home. You get comfortable. And then I just took the risk. I was like, all right, I'm leaving.
When did you come out here?
I came out 3 years ago, 3.5.
So we kind of met, like, right when you moved out.
Yeah. I met Ross. I met Joe. Yeah, I met, you know, everybody, Ricky, everybody. Yeah, about three years ago I've been here.
And so how did it come to, like, okay, so now you come out here to pursue songwriting, and the first thing you do is then do an artist deal?
Yeah, I did. The funny thing, I had another friend, Ben Billions, who's doing really well as a producer now, who's, like, my boy. We came up together. We're working.
He's from
Delaware, but lived in Miami, worked with Khaled for years. And then we started kind of, like, a production thing. Prior to that, I did, like, you know, some Meek Mill stuff, like, real rap stuff. I wasn't even, like, really into pop at
Were you point. Getting cuts with Meek and with those guys?
Yeah, I was getting like minor cut. Like I did some Ace Hood stuff. I was like doing rap stuff, hooks. You know, rappers knew I had hooks, and they were like, "Yo, I want you to come through and work on this," and you know, and I'll do stuff like that. And I think that's what when Cash was like, "Come out to LA," and I came here. And when I came first, everyone was like, "Yo, I do rap hooks," and like you should do that. And like you know, when I met Luke, he was like, "Yeah, you can do the urban stuff," and like you know, so that was like. But I don't think he knew that
I mean, when
I shocked everyone when I did everything else, like besides that now, which is like the funniest thing ever.
Well, that's the thing. When yeah. like the first thing I start saying is, you know, when you bring up Thomas Rhett and Meghan Trainor yeah. and Fifth Harmony and yeah. One Direction, yeah, like I don't know, like how much any of those have to do with rap hooks, but yeah. except for that, they all kind of want to secretly be rappers.
Yeah, all at the yeah. end of them, they're all rap melodies or old songs. Or
something. Does it work the other way, where because you've worked with those artists, like that? Are there rappers who are like, dude, I'm a huge Thomas Rhett fan.
You'd be surprised.
I'm yeah. sure. I'm, yeah, I mean,
but no, but
I'm
I
like
think,
half serious. I imagine that there are some that are like,
yeah, like
you know,
I think the
that are aware
thing,
of all of it.
There, I think like the I translate good. I think I've always listened to a lot of music, so I never felt like I couldn't do anything. Like I could work with Gotti tomorrow and do the hardest hook you've ever heard. Like, and then tomorrow I'll like you know write with you guys on like you know we'll do Selena or whatever. Like I'm not. I've never. I think that's why I think my roots of reggae and hip-hop made me fearless. Like I listen to everything, so if I listen to it I want to feel like I could do it, you yeah. know. So I like obtain the information, and I pick up, and I've always been kind of a lot. So I think like it made me fearless. Like I love pop music. Like I sure. think all of us secretly do, even rappers. Like they know every song from the night, and you know it's like guilty pleasure. So I think like you know when I got the opportunity to like showcase it, I was like, oh, okay, I'm gonna do you know something else.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So how did you know that you know music? When do you know that it's for you? I mean, if you're gonna have tell me the story of Bills. Like, how do you end up being like, this one's for me? I'm not letting anyone else cut that.
Well, Bills,
or is that way later in the process? I mean, how did that work?
That was another. Like when I first came, I wasn't trying to be an artist at all. I was like, I'm going to just come here, write songs, be creative. You know, I've met a great community of people that are like friends. And I'm like, yo, I'm going to just write songs and have fun. And I wasn't like at all like, oh, I'm going to shop a demo or I got like songs on the side. It was really, you know, it was God's work. Like I met Ricky the first time we did a Fifth Harmony single, which with Joe was
That's
on.
That's the first time
song
you guys...
I ever met Ricky. That was the first song we ever did. So it was like, you know, I met, you know, me, Cash, Taylor Parr. That was the first time I ever met Ricky. So like after that, we did the second time we worked, we did, you know, Burning Up for Jesse J. And then the same night we did Bills. So it was kind of like an energy, you know, it was like kind of like
three records yeah, in two days.
And then when we did Bills, it was like, I think it was like, I was like, man, this is dope, you know, but I think more so, you know, if anybody knows Cash, he's like, this is for you. Like, we can't even, like, he's like, no, bro, trust me. Like, you know, and I was like, are you sure? Like, I don't want to be an artist. Right. Like, I was thinking, like, I wasn't really on it. But I think just the energy of me and Ricky and Cash and us and our little crew, it, like, felt good and it felt like it was, so it made my energy be like, okay, this is fun again. Like, I'm going to try it again and, like, do something.
At what point were you like, you know, where you couldn't sleep at night because you're sitting there being like, oh my God, I'm actually going to do this again. You know, like there was it sort of like instantaneous where, you know, they're like, no, you got to keep this record. Dude, you got to keep this record. This record's all yours. And then that night you're sitting there in bed being like, fuck, man, if we release this, this song's really good. Like, my life is going to change. Yeah. Like, were you aware already at that point that you're going to end up being, you know?
I was really, like, just...
an artist again?
I was, like, kind of like, man, okay. Like, I never... Like, after that, it was kind of numb. Like, you know, I was like, okay, this is going to be... And then, you know, people start calling and labels, and then... My man's like, yo, people are calling me, and like, and it was.
Were you on Kemosabe already at that point?
Not as an artist. I was signed to Prescription Songs as a writer. So like at that time, I wasn't really thinking about being an artist. So it was like, but I think what made me really, you know, I credit it to like Cash and Ricky and us, our little crew, and you know, Joe coming in and working on stuff too. I like to point to Joe. He doesn't have a mic, but I like to shout him out because he's here. But like when I met, you know, I felt like I had friends and we started this thing, and that's what was important to me. Like, man, we gotta finish these songs, and this stuff's dope. And you know, and like I had cool people come in, and Peter Svensson and everyone was so. I was like, okay, this is dope. Let's, you know, let's try something, and you know. And it, you know, I was like, okay, I went for, you know, I was prepared. I was kind of more, I think everything leading me up to this point in my life from that time, like, made me prepared, you know. Sure. Preparation meets opportunity. I was prepared to, like, more so handle it this time than I was when I was 18. Like,
was it what you expected?
I don't know,
success of it. I mean, you go, yeah. I, you know, it's one of those things where there aren't a lot of artists that I knew you from us writing together, but, yeah. It's pretty rare that a new artist, because to you weren't new, to everyone else, it's, you know, a lot of new artists will get a deal and people will be like, hey, check this out.
Yeah.
And sometimes you check it out.
Sometimes,
and when you do check it out, most of the time you're like, yeah, this is good, but this is a long shot. I'm not really interested in, like, I'd rather go aim for Maroon 5 or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then, you know... In our community, everyone was like, you got to check this out. And then since we kind of all work as friends, you know, when enough of your friends are like, check this out, and you check it out, and you're like, fuck, I want on this so bad.
Yeah, which was,
you know, it's like, how, like...
Stuff like that was inspiring me, too, because, you know, people like you and, like, Svensson and Amar, like, people that I really look up to, like, a song, these are professional song makers.
Yeah.
And it inspired me, like... You know, to like, okay, I'm gonna go for this, like, you know, and it was fun, and it felt natural, and I was doing it the first time. You know, it's hard being an artist sometimes, because you always get to work with people you like, you know, and it's you know, it's
and
how the business
it.
Works sometimes. But this time, I was like, I'm with my friend, like Cash is like my brother, you know. I'm with Ricky, who's now like basically my family. And somebody I really liked when I first met. And once again, he brought Joe and everyone and all the people. We all went in this house and made. So it was like, it felt like we were a band or something, but we all were cool. So I was like, oh, this is fun.
It's a whole different thing than being in a band where you're like, where you have drama because everyone needs the spotlight versus something like this where everyone's trying to make the spotlight more on you.
Yeah. And we were trying to make cool stuff. Like I feel like when I did Bills... And, like, the stuff, like, Mama and those, I kind of, like, found myself. Like, when I used to talk about music before, that's why I always, like, tell, like, artists, new artists, because I'm still new, but I've been in the game for a while, so I try to, like, you know, friends that are mine. I'm like, yo, find your voice. Find who you are. Like, find, like, I know, you know, I still have ways to go, but I feel like who I am, I know who I am and what I want to say. And so, like, when I did Bills and we did Mama and I did Love Me Back, I was like, man, I could play this stuff for my mom. Like, I was so happy to make music like that, and I found my voice. It was like, I have no problem every day now, like, working on myself.
Were
like,
your parents just incredibly proud when they...
Yeah, my mom was extreme. She was, you know, I think, you know, they're always happy to see you do something with yourself, you know. I think they know how bad I always wanted to do music, and they were happy when I came out here and pursued as a writer, and I just happy when I came out. I think she'd be happy in any sense, but just like, oh, okay, you know. And I was, you know, it went through, so I was like, man, you know. Everyone, well, being an artist is hard. A lot of people try and they fail, you know. Sure. So even the little glimpse of it, I was like, man, this is cool.
And we've talked about how your mom was so encouraging with your dad over all those years. And it's like, I can imagine that you kind of got the same sort of encouragement for you too. From her just being like, go.
Yeah, she always was like, really believed in me. And like, she's that type of supportive person. Like, you know, I think that's important to have people like, you know.
When did you know that you were... kind of famous?
I'm not famous at all.
Well, I mean, in some for sure.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Harry Styles is famous.
Right, okay.
I know what you mean, though.
No, but I mean, you know, you go into, My guess is that there's not a street in Australia you can walk down.
I think it's cool. Like, I think still people are finding out more about me and they know more about my music, which is, like, really awesome. Because, like, you know, labels are always going to hit you with the analytics of everything. And really, my analytics are way higher than, like, who I am as a human being, which I kind of love.
Interesting. You know? What do you mean by that?
I just mean, like, I have, you know, there's, like, a lot of streams on bills and my songs and a lot of hits on you. But, like, I go places and, like, you know, people might know the music before they know who I am, which I kind of like sometimes. I kind of like that. You know, I want the music to be always the first before the
is
crap,
that,
you know, which is, like... You know,
I mean, is that how you got introduced to, I mean, all these different artists want you to feature, not just like write with them?
Yeah.
Is it because they heard bills, or is it like you go and write with them and they're like, your voice is dope? I mean, how do you end up being so diverse?
I think it's just I'm lucky, man. But I think when I do refs though, honestly, and I think any songwriter that really wants, I try to murder the ref, like. For rappers, like anybody, I'm gonna lay it like you should lay it. I'm gonna do the timing and I'm gonna do everything, you know, not perfect, but I try to do that. So I think sometimes it either lands me on the song, and then being that I have, like, I've done my artist stuff and they aware of certain things, they're like, oh, okay, it's dope to have you on it, you know. But even with Nikki, like Trini and them girls, that was like completely natural. Like, she just showed me love and kept me on the song, and I think it was because of how I bopped on the reference, or I don't know, but it was like. Luckily, I get featured, so, you know, it's like, but I try to go in on them like I do. I let my secret, I try to, like, in on the ref. Yeah.
We were talking about that where you were saying that your goal is...
to be the best collaborator of all time.
Yeah, man, that's incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what an interesting way to put it. Yeah. Like, I'd like to think that that's my goal, too, but it's not really the same thing. Like, you're literally being featured on these records.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine you're being featured on, you know, a Michael Bublé record right now, but maybe.
I would love to.
I'll tell him that.
Please tell him. Yeah, tell him. I love Michael Bublé. But, I don't want to put myself in any box because I love music. Like, and I feel like I could find my way on anything. So it's like, I don't want to be like, you know, when Joe hit me about the Thomas Rhett song and that he like my son, I was like, you know, listening to his stuff before and getting on Feel Good was like, man, I'm a bop on this. Like, this is dope. Like, you know, like when working with Megan, like, you know, we have a similar vibe of like positive music and happy. And then I go on Gotti stuff, you know, I don't like, cause I listen to everything. So it's like, and I feel like I want to tap into the emotion of anything. You know, there's only a couple things to talk about, love, you know, happiness, anger, and then the street. You know, me growing up in Miami, I have a background of, like, being around edgy stuff. So it's like...
Were you ever worried about, you know, I mean, Yo Gotti's got... he definitely has some lyrics where I think where it's... seems like he grew up in some pretty dangerous neighborhoods, too.
Some serious
stuff.
Yeah,
like, were you ever afraid of your childhood at all? Like, I mean, were you ever in that kind of, like, dangerous?
I mean, I'm not a street dude, you know. I didn't grow up, like, you know, but I have friends who are in the street. You know, growing up in Miami, it's a really fast city, you know, and it's a lot of stuff going on, and you see things, and, you know, being a creative, it's like you write your environment, you know. I hung around a lot of different people. I've seen a lot of things from all... I have so many different type of friends, and, like, I think that my music is based on my life. Like, I have hippie friends. I have, like, really street friends, and then I have, like, you know, my nice friends. Like, I have so many different diverse people in my life, and I think that's where it kind of bleeds into the music. Like, oh, I'm, you know, my friends love you know, Michael Bublé, and they listen to Thomas Rhett, and they listen to, you know, like, you know, Fits in the Tantrums, and, like, you know, they listen to so many indie music, and I think that's why I could tap into it. Like, oh, I'm gonna kill this. I love I love MGMT, and, you know, it's like, and it all kind of goes into the hip hop thing. Like I said, like, reggae and rap, and, like, you know, hip hop is, like, very, like, a genre where it's, like, kind of free. Like, we'll get on anything, like, you know, and then, you know, kind of runs with my pop stuff. It's like soul and, like, you know, I don't know. I'm a mess.
How do you manage the different politics?
I'm a mess.
How do you manage the different politics of it? Because the difference of writing for yourself versus writing for, you know, a Megan, or, you know, writing for Yo Gotti are totally different because the way the, you know, management works and all that stuff.
Yeah.
How do you navigate that stuff?
You know, it's like funny. I was talking to my manager the other day because I did a hook for Gotti on his new mixtape coming out on the 23rd album called CM9. And it's kind of hard what I'm saying, but I'm also, you know, working on a lot of movie stuff and a lot of sync stuff. So it's like,
What do you mean?
Well, it's just like, you know, like with the Peanut stuff and like, you know, a lot of animation stuff. And they're like always trying to get me involved because the media's like, we're worried. Like, but I feel like, I feel like everyone loves music. Nowadays, kids don't, they don't block, their playlists are so diverse. Like you listen to a Kai, it's like a Yo Gotti song is next to a Meghan Trainor song, is right. next to a Thomas Rhett song.
Just a dope song.
Is next to a Selena Gomez song. Like, is like everyone. So I feel like if you box yourself in, you'll lose, like, as an artist, like, so many dope things like to be a part of.
But when you do, are you purposefully positive in your,
my music is my like sanity. Like, my music is like what I want to talk about. Like, it's my freedom. Like, I like to put positivity in the world, talk about love, talk about good stuff. And
is that the Jamaica vibe?
That's the, I think it dates back to the reggae. That's the, probably the Bob, the, just the good, you know, I always say now I could play my music with my mom and I'm being myself. And because I'm not a, you know, I am a happy guy. I'm like, I love music. I love chords. I love soul. I love, you know, that type of stuff. So it's kind of like, I think goes into, my music is like for my health, I think. Like for my way of, I could sleep. Like, I love, like, you know, I talk about what I want to talk about, which is like very nice and beautiful. You know, family.
I put a list of a few people where I'm curious, you know, just sort of say like the first thing that comes to mind.
All right.
Ty Dolla $ign.
Legend.
Why?
He's just a talented dude, man.
I mean, heard you talking about him the other day, and yeah, I was like, man, I hope somebody talks artists. About me behind my back. What are you talking about?
Ty's my homie, man. I just put a song out with him on Friday, too.
Yeah, congrats, on Earth. Man.
Thank you. Just a fun holiday release, but yeah, he's just one of the talented dudes I ever met, man. Just his ability to sing and play, and his voice is, he's just dope. I mean, he's on a Fifth Harmony. He's another one. He's on a Fifth Harmony song, and then if you listen to his music, it's like, you know, right. It's like, I think it's us. We're like these hybrid people who just like, whatever.
We were saying this also where it seems like some people who do features, like, they kind of jump the shark, so to speak. Like, they end up doing a feature on a record where they, fuck, why?
Yeah, now I'm not cool anymore. Yeah. Like, yeah.
But I don't know if that really ever happens, you know? I think even if it's a shitty song, it tends to be like people are like, oh, well, that's sort of what happened. Yeah. I don't know if anyone's paying that much attention to anybody else.
I think it's you as a person, too, you know? Like, yeah. Kendrick's on a Taylor Swift song, and I still think he's dope and mad cool. It doesn't make the hip-hop fans be like, oh, my God, he's on the Taylor Swift. You know, it's like he still put To Pimp a Butterfly out, and we're like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, still talking about, like, all type of racially, everything, and he's on a Taylor Swift. It's just, like, who you are, I think, that kind of, like, you know, plays it.
How about Jay Cash?
Awesome, man. My brother. He's the homie.
I mean, it's so much.
Talented, like, psycho, great human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Al Roker.
Legend.
How did that happen? Like, so I watched the Today Show in the morning. We always put it on while we're eating breakfast and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And when Bills was first out, it was like, dude, all he cared about.
Yeah. He's the nicest dude.
How did you meet that guy? Was it straight from Bills?
I mean, it was crazy to support. That song, like, drew so many people in my... But I was like... You know, he just really supported it on the Today Show and was like, you gotta come up here. And then when we met, it was like, you know... He's Uncle Al. He's a great... Like, I'm walking around New York City with him and people are, like, screaming out of cars and, like... He's famous.
Yeah, right. He's famous.
So.
Why does a song be... How is a song so big in Australia, so big in the UK? And it did well here, and it's such a giant country. So I think people realize, like, the levels of success here are skewed and different.
Yeah.
But why did it connect so well in some countries like Australia and the UK?
I think... I think those, like, Australia, UK, Germany, they're such left countries with music. Like, I feel like they take in music different from America, you know, America for some reason. Like, it's like Bills was such a left song at the time. Like, I don't think nothing sound with the, like, the ragtime piano and it's like, like his house. It was like, I think it was a lot for American radio. I mean, there's a lot of variations of why, you know, a song doesn't always do its full potential here, but even I'm not mad at, because it did make its mark here that made me,
you know, I mean,
like,
obviously, oh,
this guy is like super dope, which I was happy. You know, I could have been either the Bills guy, or I could have been like in America, or the guy that's like got potential to do more. And I think I'm glad it worked everywhere else, which, you know, helped me like be, if I, when I get here, I'll get the whole world. So I'm like super happy about that. But I think like over there, people just love different stuff. They love like, they love, like, something. Like, I listen to the radio there. I'm like, what's this? Like, you know, they love, like, it was so, like, new. I think it just, like, kind of smacked people, I think, a little bit. So,
yeah. I mean, we all did, and that's why, you know, it's, like, it's why all those artists want you to feature on their records, because they're like, man, this is cool. It's, you know, regardless of good or not, and it's good, too.
Yeah.
But the fact that people are like, this is cool. This is cool.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Which I loved,
And when you did, the music video really kind of shows your sense of humor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, did you direct it too? Or no, was it like your concept?
I gave the concept. Like, I like, you know, collaborating. I like giving my idea and him shooting it back. So we kind of collaborated on it. Ricky had ideas too. And Cash, we all kind of, I knew I wanted to play like different people and like show working class people and stuff. So, yeah, it was like kind of like a collaborative thing.
You think you're going to continue doing the artist thing forever now that the door's open?
Yeah, I think I want to do it as long as I think I'm not like crazy. Like, I'm not like,
because before the artist thing, and you were like, I don't know, you know, I just want to do the writing thing.
No, I want to take it to the moon now. Like, now, I mean, I'm into it and I'm doing it. I want to eventually, you know, be the best that I can at it, and also still write and be creative. Like, just be a great creative collaborative artist, you know.
Yeah, it's
and
awesome.
Luckily, I have friends like Ross. I've cast so many friends who we have this community of writers that, like, you know, bring me in on a lot of cool stuff, and I get to, you know, feature on stuff, and so I'm blessed, man. I'm happy. Like, I feel good.
Yeah, you're doing well.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that you came and this podcast, man.
This is crazy. This is Ross's amazing,
you know,
world.
I was going to say, to sort of close, I can't think of another writer that's walked into the community where everyone wants to, like, be them. Not, like, just work with, but there's such a different thing. You know, we have writers that come in who everyone wants to work with because they're good.
Yeah.
And you may like them, but it doesn't necessarily mean that, like, you look up to them as the whole package. Sometimes you're like, this is it. They're a good collaborator. They're really smart. Or they're really, they can sing well, or that. But, you know, it's like, I think everybody likes, sometimes you like being with them for a short amount of time.
Sure. Or, you know, it's like, but it's a real family. You're like, all right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, like, you could be closer to them. But it's, you know, it's a different thing when there's like a, there always seems to be a battle for your time.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
So many people want to have you in the room. Yeah. It's like, most of people that we even have on this podcast are older than you are. You're really young to have made such a big mark. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to see what happens for you over the next few years, because the fact that you've only been here for 3 years and you've already made that much of an impact. Mm. I mean, I can promise you, from having been out here for a little bit longer, like, it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, thank you, know? Man. But that's why I kind of think it's cool, like, even when you shared your, like, story of being here with me and a lot of things. Like, I think time is just, you're better and you learn. And, like, I learn so much every day. Like, I just don't, I learn from you. I learn from everyone I work with, like, Ricky. And I just, like, I love taking in the information and, like, getting better, you know, and like, you know, not being like, everything's like a fast learner. I'm like a slow learner too. I slowly adapt. Like, you get better with time, you know, like, so it's like, you know, I think I'm just lucky. You're only as good as the people you're around. So I'm around, you know, I can't give myself all the credit. You know, I'm lucky to be around like really dope.
Yeah, but you've learned people. From being with, you know,
even Salam, Salam named me Lunch Money. Salam Remy sitting
he
with
named
him
you I, Lunch Money?
Yeah. Salam named me Lunch Money. Yeah.
How did
was,
that happen?
I was young. My brother was really cool with him, and I was known for a long time, like, not to, like, my brother, they always knew me, like, yo, your brother could rap. I'd come around my big brother, and they'd be like, yo, make your brother rap, man, like, your brother's really nice, and my brother be like, man, rap for him. So, like, a lot of people found out, like, from my brother, you know, and then Salam kind of met me. He's kind of a big dude.
Is your brother proud?
Yeah, my brother's like super marketing guy, you know. My brother's on his Instagram. Like, my brother has a new show on Thursday coming out. Like, you know, that's my brother. Like, he's like, you know, we're a cool family. We're all like artistic in some way or in the field of
work. You know, it's with the. I know I said I was going to close, but I'm not anymore. Because I was going to also say, you know, like I've noticed this with almost every writer who's ever been signed to Luke.
Yeah.
Or come through prescription. Mm. Their level of excellence is so much higher than most people. Because
learned a lot from that guy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you're talking about Salam and Luke.
Learned a lot from that dude,
and,
too.
And, I mean.
The similarities of them, too. I always say, too, like, Salam, if you know his work from, like, Amy and Miguel and all the type of, you know, like, he's really an artist-producer, not a lot of writers. He, like, works solely with artists who write their own stuff and, like, develops his sound thing. But the dudes that I came up around, like, their level of focus and intensity when it comes to, like, finishing stuff, like, I always say it's, like, it's crazy. Even my dad, like, I look at all the dudes that the men in my life who, like, helped me, like, the homies who helped me for it, and they're all, like, the same. Like, they're super, like, intense finishers of finishing, and everything has to be. So I think it kind of made me, like, either, like, have tough skin or, like we had to, like, be in, and, like, you know. It's like, even my pops is still like that to this day.
Like, one of my favorite quotes is that geniuses finish things. That's and true. I just think that's like,
very true.
That to me, that's the answer. Cause just because so many people, there's so many people who are so talented and they think of themselves as genius, or people recognize their potential, but they just can't finish a record or an album or a story or whatever it is. They can't finish it.
Yeah.
And if they finish it, then someone will recognize it for being genius. But until then, it's just a bunch of just like, potential.
Yeah, potential. And it's like...
That you can only be cute with potential for so long.
You're like, it's so good, like, but is it done? You know? Right. And I think just being around those dudes and, like, you know, I think it all makes us all, like, kind of like that. I mean, you know, even being around, like, Ricky and Benny and, like, everybody. It's like this level of, like, we're going to go and, like, finish the song. Like, and I think from Salam and just Luke being, you know, a great finisher, and, like, even my dad, like, you know, being his, how he does stuff. He's always been young and with me, like, hard on me, like, you have to do this right, and da-da-da, like, his level, you know. And, like, so I think it, like, made me, like, you know, kind of refined you, like, over a while, like, you know, like that kind of thing.
Well, it seems to have worked, my friend.
Yeah, kind of, right? Yeah, a little bit. I don't know. We'll see. A couple years.
Well, congrats on Heaven on Earth, and excited for the next chapter for you.
Thank you. And congrats on your podcast. And Joe.
Yeah. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for listening to this episode of And the Writer Is. If you want to hear music from this songwriter I just interviewed, be sure to check out our Spotify playlist or visit our website at andthewriteris.com. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also like us on Facebook and Twitter. And the Writer is produced by Joe London, edited by Miles Bergsma, and published by Big Deal Music. A special thanks to Jeff Sparger, David Silberstein from Mega House Music, and Michael White. Until next time, this is Ross Golan.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.